that, welcome on into our Saints game day coverage. Today it's Saints against the Panthers in the regular season finale coming up here in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome at noon. I'm Seth Dunlap, and I'm flying solo today. That's because Steve Cordy's taking the day off with the rest of those Saints starters with everything wrapped up, right? The veteran, as he would, taking a day off today, and he'll be back with us in the playoffs. No, Steve dealing with a little knee issue. Certainly, we all wish him the best here, and he's fine. He'll be back next week with us, so you're going to be hanging out with me. We'll have Mike Dettillier on in the program at 8:40 this morning, Larry Holder as well in the 9 o'clock hour, and we've got lots to talk about here because, yes, the Saints starters, for the most part, and most of their first-teamers are going to be taking the day off, and if they're not, they won't play very much. They'll play sparingly, but there's still a lot of intrigue here, and the first part of the intrigue has to start at the quarterback position, and that's because, folks, it's Teddy time. Choppa style himself, Teddy Bridgewater will get the start that was announced earlier this week. Not really a surprise there, as we knew Drew Brees either would play maybe a series or wouldn't play at all, and it kind of sounds like he won't play at all, which is a little interesting because, as you heard there in our news segment, well, Drew Brees is only 8 yards away from 4,000, but if you asked him, and, well, he was asked in the locker room earlier this week, does 4,000 yards matter? Does that milestone matter? He straight said no, doesn't matter one bit. Not at all, I think, was his quote. And that's kind of how I think that he should approach this. If you're worried about getting to that really arbitrary plateau of 4,000 yards, and let's be honest, in the NFL anymore, 4,000 yards isn't the milestone that it used to be. That's not as important as really keeping your quarterback healthy and giving him the extra week off. Even in just that one play, you never know what's going to happen injury-wise here in the NFL, and you don't want your Super Bowl window, your Super Bowl season derailed because of some freak injury, freak accident. So, Teddy Bridgewater, he will play today, and let's be honest here. When he was brought in earlier this season, we talked about Teddy not only becoming the backup this year, and he needed that solid veteran backup in the Super Bowl window that the Saints are in. That's critical because, as we saw last year with Nick Foles replacing Carson Wentz, you never know what's going to happen injury-wise, and you got to have that replacement if your roster is built the rest of the way to possibly carry your team to a Super Bowl. I argue that this roster was indeed capable of that, even if the unthinkable happened to number 9. Well, thank goodness it didn't, but Teddy not only was brought in for that contingency plan, but let's be honest here. He was brought in as a possible future quarterback here of the franchise. He's only signed through this year. He'll go into the offseason as an unrestricted free agent, and this gives him an opportunity not only to show what he can do under center here for this franchise, but really the rest of the NFL. I still believe that Teddy Bridgewater is a fully capable starting quarterback in the NFL. And if you talk to a lot of people around the Saints franchise who've covered the Saints franchise for a very long time, you think that he fits Sean Payton's system very well. So we don't know what's going to happen at the end of the year here. We don't know what's going to happen at the end of the season if everything goes as planned and the Saints do win that second Super Bowl. Maybe. And again, maybe here. I don't have any other info that you don't on this one, but maybe Drew Brees rides off into that proverbial sunset and the Saints are looking for their next franchise quarterback. Well, Teddy Bridgewater, he would provide, in my mind, a better option than not only anybody else on the roster, including Taysom Hill, but probably anybody that they could draft, which would be, what, a second-round pick this next year? Because they don't have that first-round pick, so it's not like they're going to go into the draft, be able to draft likely a franchise quarterback if Drew does indeed call it quits. So Teddy Bridgewater, this is a very important start for him, a critical start for his career, and heck, maybe a very good indicator on whether the Saints will keep him around or not. That a free agent quarterback class this offseason, Bridgewater, Nick Foles is going to be a free agent as well. There's going to be some guys that contenders and would-be contenders who are looking to upgrade the quarterback spot, they're going to have some options this year. You look down at Jacksonville, what happened with Blake Bortles, and I think the Blake Bortles era and that experiment is officially over with the dreadful season that he's had there. It's unacceptable with that defense and with the talent there and the run last year to the AFC Championship game that they are this bad. They'll be looking for a quarterback. That's going to drive up the price of a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, but I could certainly see him in a Saints uniform for a very long time. In fact, I'd kind of like to see that happen. So you tell me here. It is Teddy time. And this is his fourth year. One of those seasons was derailed by injury, but he's a career 65% passer, 28 touchdowns, 22 interceptions, and really only had those two seasons, his rookie year when he played 12 games, and then his second year when he led the Vikings to the playoff and should have won a playoff game if field goal kicker Blair Walsh makes, a 22-yard field goal to beat the Seahawks. He shanked that one, and somehow the Seahawks won that football game. But Teddy Bridgewater is a proven winner here. He's proven he can get your team to the playoffs, and again, I think he fits pretty darn well into a Sean Payton system. But I'd like to hear from you on this. 504-260-1870 is the phone number. This is your show, the most interactive Saints pregame show this morning out there. Text line is 870-870. Here's some text coming in. Text from the 336. Drew Brees was a second-round pick. Yeah, he was a second-round pick. We talked about that a lot. A little bit different, though. There were only 30 teams in the National Football League then, and if there were 32 picks in the first round, he would have been a first-round pick. You never know how that would have happened, but you're right. He was a second-round pick. But if you think you're going to find another Drew Brees in the second round or later, that's a long shot. At best, Dave Potter, our studio producer, is a little skeptical of that as well in my ear. Our Oakland Heart Rolex time is 3 hours and 50 minutes before kickoff here. It's our show until 10 o'clock, and then we will throw it to the countdown to kickoff, brought to you by Bud Light with Bobby Hebert and Christian Garrick on the Saints Radio Network. Text from the 601, who dat from the Gulf of Mexico, Saints 27-20 over the Panthers. John D. from Hattiesburg, and he's predicting two Teddy Bridgewater passing touchdowns. I'd like to see that as well. Another thing we're going to be watching with a lot of starters out, what do these young Saints wide receivers do with Bridgewater here and in an offensive line that's not going to look anything like one that we saw this season that was one of the best units in the National Football League? Keek Kirkwood, who played over 50% of the snaps last week, kind of became their number two receiver. And I know some people here locally are writing about that. Hey, maybe the Saints have found their number two receiver next to Mike Thomas. Kirkwood has been good. He had that one really ugly drop last week. But outside of that, he's played pretty well. Tre'Quan Smith has underperformed in my mind really since the middle part of the season when he thought he might be kind of a breakout star here for the Saints. He hasn't done that. What will he do? Does Ted Ginn play? He played last week coming back from that injury. So watch for that wide receiver position as well. Speaking of pass catchers here in this Saints offense, if you missed it earlier this week, one of their pass catchers announced that he's going to retire at the end of the season. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll tell you who, and we'll also hear from one of the more beloved Saints players. I'm Seth Dunlap. We're just getting started again. This is the Acadian Windows Saints fans' first take. Saints Panthers coming up at noon right here on WWL.
Brees will be under center, eye backfield. Will Lutz checks in at the left tight end spot. Hand off Ingram off left tackle, puts his head down across the goal line. Mark Ingram and the Saints with the touchdown, 1 yard out.
Welcome back to the Acadian Windows Fans First Take here on WWL. Acadian Windows, official window company of the Who Dat Nation. Saints Panthers here in the regular season finale coming up at noon. And we put a little Easter egg, or we didn't put it. There is a little Easter egg in that highlight for you. I wonder if you caught it. 870-870, the text line. Here's a text from the 985. I'm curious if Steve Kortz would have started today on Fans First Take had the Saints not wrapped up the bye already. Well, look, like the savvy veteran he is. Saints have everything wrapped up. He gets the double bye. We're back in a couple weeks, and this is show. Got to get this out of the way, right? This is show 20 out of 23. We called our shot here during our first show. So there are going to be 23 Fans First Takes this year because the Saints are going to have 4 preseason games, 16 regular season games, and then only 3 playoff games because they'd have the first round bye and be making a Super Bowl. So hopefully we are right, and there are indeed 23 shows over here. Here's a text from the 985. Please, everyone, pull for the Bears today so we don't have to keep seeing the Minneapolis Miracle. ESPN and NFL Network are wearing it out. I'm so done and over it. Well, here's the thing. Wouldn't you like a little bit of revenge on Minnesota here in the Superdome? Because I don't think that Minnesota could come in here and win a game. Now, they're likely, I say likely here, they're likely the sixth seed, which means they would have to play the Bears again next week. They play the Bears this week at home. Then they'll have to go on the road if they win that game and play the Bears next week again. That's going to be one heck of a task to win that football game. Another text here from the 985. Teddy time. You mean nap time? See you in two. No, I don't agree with that at all. In fact, like I said last segment, this isn't your normal Week 17 snooze fest. Teddy Bridgewater brings real intrigue here, as you could, and I say could, be watching the guy who's going to be under center after Drew Brees is gone. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, in fact, just 2 minutes ago now, tweeted something out and did a segment on NFL Network talking about, hey, this is a massive start for Teddy Bridgewater, who's going to have a really big offseason, as he will be a free agent. Another guy who's going to have a big offseason, but not in the same way, is Saints tight end Benjamin Watson, who announced that he will be retiring at the end of the season. That wasn't really unexpected here. The 38-year-old, he came into the league back in 2004 as a first-round pick for the New England Patriots, won a Super Bowl with the Patriots, and really one of the more beloved Saints here now in his second stint with the team. He has 528 receptions, nearly 6,000 yards, and 44 touchdowns in his career. And maybe more importantly, he'd probably tell you this too, Ben Wood. He's a father of five, but about to be a father of seven. That's because, as he so cleverly announced during a game earlier this year, his wife is expecting twins. So again, congratulations to the Watson family. And really, congratulations to Ben Watson on one heck of a career. And Watson, earlier this week, he reflected on his retirement, his pending retirement.
Of course. Some of you always think about throughout your career. I knew coming into this year that it probably would be the last year, and I think our approach was, as a family, we're fortunate to come and play for another year, definitely, but you kind of know. You hope you get to exit on your own terms. You hope you get to exit with a great win, and it's been great to be a part of this team and have this sort of winning at this point in my career. But the injuries add up. The body struggles more and more, and it becomes evident that it's time. And I think, and it's always a very hard thing, but my mentality this year has definitely been to perform the best of my ability, to fight through different things, and you get different setbacks. But with our family, my wife and kids, we've definitely decided that this is the last one.
That was Saints tight end Benjamin Watson on announcing his retirement at the end of the season. And again, 38 years old, it's not unexpected, but let's just take a minute to reflect here on what an accomplishment that is. Not only are you playing in the National Football League till you're 38, but you're playing at that position until you're 38, and also bouncing back from multiple injuries here. It's been a fantastic career. Somebody here on Twitter is asking me, hey, do you think Ben Watson is a Hall of Famer? First, I think that's a little bit of an asinine question at this point, not to throw it back in your face or clap back at you here, but really, I don't care about that. He's probably not. Just with the numbers and in the era of Gronk and Gonzalez and Antonio Gates and all these guys, but regardless, hell of a career for Ben Watson, and he may ride off into the sunset, hopefully here anyways, with his second Super Bowl ring. Wouldn't that be special? Somebody on the text line found our Easter egg in that highlight we played rejoining the segment. Nice job from the 504 there. Let's go to the phone lines at 504-260-1870 and our buddy Tony in Australia, leader of the Houdat Army down under. Tony, what's going on this morning?
How you going, Seth? Are you flying solo?
I am. I'm flying solo. Got my pilot's license, so Steve thought he could step aside today, man.
I was just watching an ESPN film thing on TV here, and they featured Ben Watson.
Oh, they did?
And yeah. So he's been a bit of a journeyman. Played with the Browns, the Vikings, and then two stints with the Saints and Patriots beforehand. And he will get his second Super Bowl ring. There's no doubt about that. And the other thing, Cam's going to get sent another broom.
Well, Cam's not playing today, though.
You know that,
Tony? You'd still send him a broom? You'd still send him a broom?
It doesn't matter. It does not matter whether he plays or not.
I love it.
We will take care of the Panthers. Doesn't matter who's playing on the Saints side.
I love it, Tony. I love it. That'll be a great present for Cam Newton. What do you think about Teddy Bridgewater? Are you excited to see Teddy time?
Unfortunately, here on TV, they're showing the Jaguars and the Texans. Who cares?
Yeah, who Jags,
the
Texans?
Saints
who
are
does
the prime
care?
Time TV team. They should show them every week.
Yeah, sorry, you got to suffer through the Jags Texans. How awful is that? Well, Tony, thanks for checking in.
No. I'll watch Red Zone, so I'll watch. Oh, yeah. The Saints score touchdown after touchdown after touchdown.
There you go, Tony. Tony, appreciate you checking in, man, and I guess we'll hear from you in 2 weeks for
good
the playoffs.
Who's that going to beat them Saints in the Super Bowl? Ain't no one.
All right, Tony in Melbourne, leader of the Hoodat Army Down Under. Thanks, Tony. Yeah, I'm excited for Teddy Bridgewater. We're going to see Kyle Allen's going to be the quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. Heineke got hurt. He was the backup to Cam last week, so now they're on their third-string quarterback. And Kyle Allen, well, he only threw those four passes in his NFL career, all came last week, completed them all. College quarterback at Texas A&M, then transferred to Houston, where he didn't really see a lot of game action. So this is going to be tough for the Panthers, even with all these Saints backups in. I really think it's going to be tough for the Panthers to win this football game. Might be pretty low scoring here, because a lot of that Panthers starting defense is going to play. I'm Seth Dunlap. We're taking a break for news. We're back with Mike Dottillier in about 10 minutes here on the Acadian Windows Fans First Take, right here on WWL. Now, the Bears still have that very outside chance to get a first-round bye in the 2-seed, but they would need the Rams to lose to San Francisco. That's probably not happening. We know that. That game is in Los Angeles. So what I think might happen as I look into my crystal ball here is the Bears probably play their starters the first half of that football game, and then maybe they go into the locker room, see that Rams game is out of hand, and you go, all right, Khalil Mack and Mitch Trubisky and everybody else, let's go ahead and sit you for the second half gear, get you a little bit of rest before you'd have to come back and likely play the Vikings next week. That's because if the Vikings win that game, they're likely the sixth seed, again, assuming Seattle beats Arizona. Seattle is in. Seattle has a home game against Arizona. They're playing everybody, and that means the Vikings next week, they'd have to travel to Chicago to play the Bears on the road. So that could be a back-to-back, a really rare occurrence there, Minnesota at Chicago. The Eagles clinging to their very, maybe not slight playoff hopes, but what they would need is a Vikings loss, and Nick Foles and company would have to beat Washington today. Here's a text from the 985. Who gets the punting duties today? A little tongue-in-cheek text there, I think, as I was saying the starters are resting. Yeah, Thomas Morstead's going to punt today. No backup punter on the roster. We'll go ahead and take a break. When we come back, Mike Dottillier swings on in to give us his draft day reflections as we talk a little Luke Kuechly, one of the guys I think even all Saints fans could admire a little bit here from afar. I'm Seth Dunlap. This is the Acadian Windows Fans First Take here on WWL. And welcome back to the show. Mike Dottillier has stepped on in for his draft day reflections brought to you by the Sports Medicine Center at the Thibodaux Regional Medical Center, keeping you safely in the game. Mike, it's week 17. Here we go. Regular season finale. How are you, man?
I'm doing great, man. Listen, it's hard to believe the regular season's almost over with, but ready for the playoffs now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's a little double bye for a lot of the starters here, really for maybe both teams. We'll get to that in just a second. But, Mike, I want to start with Carolina. And since this is the first year we're doing this, let's go back and talk about Luke Kuechly. Everybody loved him, I know, coming out of college. What did you think? And did you think he would be the star that he is in the league right now?
I thought he'd be a good player. Seth, I'd be lying to you if I told you I thought he would be as good as he's been. And where he jumps out at you, the biggest improvement is in the pass protection part of the game. He's great dropping back in coverage. He's one of the better cover linebackers there is in the National Football League, and especially in the middle. He's at the top of the list. There's a guy who's had 16 pass interceptions throughout his career. That's where you didn't see that complete player there. He was great in run support. He could run the field well. He was a big, tall, lanky kid who's physically gotten stronger. If there was any question marks, it was how well he could cover in the NFL. He answered that real quickly. I mean, he's one of the stud players, and you think, here it is. You know, he came in as a first-round pick, and he's rolled this up since he's come in 2012. He's had 948 tackles. 609 of them are solo tackles. That's amazing to me, that type of production. And remember, in 2015 and 16, he missed 9 games because of concussion issues. Yeah. And he's rolled up almost 1,000 tackles since entering the league in 2012. He's one of the elite players in the National Football League. And while I think most of us thought he'd be a really good player, he's turned out to be an elite football player in the NFL.
No, he's really fun to watch, even if you're a Saints fan, I think. Is it kind of Keekly and Bobby Wagner than everybody else at that position in the NFL right now?
Pretty much, and here's the crazy part. In that same draft, Dante Hightower, who's been a really good player when he's been healthy, came out of that draft, and so did Bobby Wagner.
It's incredible, man. It's incredible. You
know, Wagner comes out the same draft. He gets picked a little bit later on, and those two guys right now are certainly ahead of the class as far as inside linebackers are concerned. But, you know, you look at Keekly, in a lot of ways, he's a defensive version of Drew Brees. And Drew has talked about the fact that a lot of times he's hollering out the play as soon as they line up. That goes to show how much kind of film work he's done and how much he can retain about what he sees out on the football field. He's a remarkable player, and he's a future NFL Hall of Famer.
Let's go to the other side of the football, and the Carolina Panthers have thrown so many assets at improving their offense around Cam Newton, and one of them was DJ Moore, Mike. What could you tell us about this guy, and has he panned out the way you thought?
You know, one of the things with DJ, he came out last year, and, you know, I looked at that class with – it was Calvin Ridley, Christian Kirk, DJ Moore, and they were all kind of battling for that 1-2-3 spot. DJ was not used a lot early in his career, but he had a huge junior season for Maryland where, you know, he caught, you know, 80 passes, averaged almost 13 yards a catch, 9 touchdowns, and he broke onto the scene, and he had a great offseason. But this is a guy that he caught 146 passes in a, like a 2.5-year span at Maryland. And their quarterbacks at Maryland are lousy. I mean, absolutely lousy. And yet he was able to make it work. You saw the transition for him has been real smooth because already he's caught 51 passes in the NFL. He's averaging almost 14 yards a catch. They use him a lot on the jet sweep, and we all know about that because, you know, he got stripped of the football. He's fumbled the ball 4 times on jet sweeps and lost it 3 times. But he's averaging 13 yards a carry. He's a terrific athlete, great field vision, the ability to kick it in another gear. But he's caught on real well to NFL route running. And I think that's been the surprise, how quickly it has come to him as a rookie in the NFL. And for some guys, it's literally year 2 or 3 before you see them clip over 50 catches. For DJ, he's making it work, and come Sunday, today, he's going to be returning punts. So they've given him another assignment.
Well, before we let you go, I got to ask you about Teddy Bridgewater, Mike. We found out a few days ago he is going to get the start today. What do you think about his game?
He's perfect, or I should say a perfect build for Sean Payton's offense. Having watched him in college and early on with the Vikings, he is very good in that short, intermediate part of the game. He's accurate. He's smart with his throws. He throws a very catchable football. Again, in throwing a very catchable football, he gives that receiver an opportunity to make a play after the catch. I think one of the things we want to see today is his movement skills. He had a horrific knee injury in Minnesota. And we haven't seen a lot of him in a regular season game, his movement skills. Well, we've seen him dance in the locker room, but we haven't seen him out on the football field in a regular season moving around under heavy duress. And I think that's what the NFL wants to see with him. I'm telling you, he's a perfect fit in a Sean Payton-type offense because he's quick study, quick read, rhythm passer, and he excels in that short, medium-range part of the field. And that's what the Saints do. They do a tremendous job with it. I think he's a great fit. The problem will be convincing him that this is his team for the future because he may have a lot of options in the offseason. There's always going to be moves at that quarterback position, and it's limited veteran-wise. You know, Nick Foles is going to get a lot of money. But with a big game today, Teddy Bridgewater could punch his ticket in that area too.
Can't wait to watch him play today. This has been Draft Day Reflections, brought to you by the Sports Medicine Center at the Thibodaux Regional Medical Center, keeping you safely in the game. Mike, enjoy this. Happy New Year, buddy.
Happy New Year, Seth. Take care, bud.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Fans First Take continues as we get ready for Saints-Panthers on WWL. Welcome back to the show. I want to just quickly touch on the college football semifinals that were yesterday. Obviously, they were center stage with the NFL, all their games today. And as expected, Clemson and Alabama took care of business in the first game. It was Clemson just destroying Notre Dame. No other way to put that. I believe that Notre Dame should have been there. They were undefeated, but Clemson, as most people expected, showed that they were just in a different class, a different hemisphere than Notre Dame. Here's Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney after the win.
Our seniors, you know, what can you say? They got their 54th win tonight. The leadership is special. And then Trevor, him and number 8, got it going early. That was the spark that we needed. And the big plays were definitely the difference in the game. Notre Dame came into this game hardly giving up any big plays, and we were one of the leaders in the country in big plays. So,
and for the third time in 4 years, it'll be Clemson against Alabama in the title, because Alabama defeated Oklahoma 45-34. Alabama 21-0 in the first quarter against Oklahoma, and they kind of cruised after that. Here's Nick Saban.
Well, it was a great win for our team. I'm really proud of these guys for the way they've competed all season long. You know, Oklahoma is a really, really good team, very explosive team on offense. I thought we did a great job of controlling the game today, the way our offense played.
I also want to hit on this. I'm hearing this, and I saw this all over social media after Oklahoma lost that game, that, this proved that Tua should have been the Heisman over Kyler Murray, the quarterback for Oklahoma. That's a bunch of hogwash. I don't understand. Tua in that game, he was exceptional. 318 yards, he has more touchdowns than he had incompletions. But Kyler Murray was equally as exceptional. 308 yards, 2 touchdowns. And the refrain from the Tua for Heisman people was that, well, see, Tua just did this against SEC defenses who are better, and Oklahoma and Kyler Murray, he was beaten up on the horrible Big 12 defenses all year. Well, you're kind of eating your own tail there. If you think that passing and the numbers you put up against Big 12 defenses don't really matter, well, then aren't you saying Tua's 318 and 4 touchdowns don't matter, and Kyler's 308 yards and 2 touchdowns was way more impressive against that great Alabama defense? I'm firmly in the Kyler for Heisman camp. I thought he deserved the award. One of the most exceptional college players we've seen in the past decade, I think. Back for another hour of Fans First Take.